morning, Open Door. Glad to see you all here this morning. We all please stand, and we'll open up with a nice little hand clapper worship song for you all this morning. Ready? Saw the light. How about you? And I remember the day a lot of other people saw the light. And guess what? We have baptisms today, and these folks saw the light too. So that's awesome. So let's bow our heads and praise God in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, God, I thank you, and I praise your wonderful name. God, I praise you, God, because I love you. You're such a wonderful God. You bless us so much, God, and all I can do is just stand here, lift up my voice, and praise you this morning, Lord. Lord, I ask that your blessing be upon this worship service and upon the word that Pastor Larry has for us this morning, God. And Lord, upon these people who are being baptized today, God, I ask that you will bless them with the anointing of your Holy Spirit, God, and prepare them to do what you have them to do. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to worship and to give him the praise that he is due. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, one of the great things part of this worship is we get to participate in baptism. You get to participate in that as well, as you are the witnesses to these who have given their life to Jesus Christ. So it's a very special day for us here, and you need to be much in prayer for these who are going to be baptized. There's a surprise coming at the end that you're all going to love, I'm sure. But first of all, I want to introduce to you Bobby Joe Campardo. Is that right?
Yes.
All right, I got it right. Yeah. And this is Bobby Joe, and I asked her, what is your real name? She says, Bobby Joe. But Bobby Joe comes to us because someone in this church invited her to come to church, and that was Crystal Calvin. Yeah. Yeah, that was Crystal Cowden, and so she, you work with Crystal, or you work in the school system with Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she works with Crystal. So she's been a part of this church through Crystal for some time. Crystal has been inviting her, so she finally took her up on it, and she came, and now here we are. Amen?
Amen.
That's just a great thing how God works. So Bobby Jo has committed her life to following Jesus Christ and his ways. And we want to help her do that in this church as best as we possibly can. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bobby Jo, have you prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
I have.
Bobby Jo, upon your belief and your trust in him, mm-hmm. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This next young man is her son, and his name is Ash. Ash, you're a tall boy. You better stand this way just a little bit, all right? And I did the same thing with Ash. I says, Ash, what is your real name? And Ash is his real name, right? So, but he has come along with his mother, and he has prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Of course, I have met with them both before this, you know. And Ash is going to be a very strong Christian as he goes forward. And he's young in his Christianity, and we need to support him and help him grow in that. And we need to be good examples to him in that. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Ash, have you prayed, and do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Ash, upon your profession of faith, and your belief in Jesus Christ, I'm now going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the next one is going to be very special to us as a church, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the baptism. But we'll invite the gentleman down that is going to do the baptism. Here. Yes.
I got saved.
We've been praying a long time. Zeke has had a very, very busy weekend. One of your children got married yesterday.
Yep.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Judah. Judah and his wife, Olivia.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, they just seem to be a great couple. Amen.
Amen.
And I didn't get to Leslie in time, but I have a picture of Zeke in a suit.
A three-piece.
Yes, a three-piece. I have it. I'll have to show it to you sometime. But listen, this is more about than the wedding, which was great.
Amen.
It's more about you being in a suit, which was great. I'll let you have it from here.
Thank you. So I would like my daughter, Mercy Grace, to come on in. You haven't seen her in a while. She lives at Miracle Mountain Ranch, where she is part of the School of Discipleship. And she's giving me instructions. And she's up there full time. She came in for the wedding. So it's great to be in here with her. So Mercy, why do you want to be baptized?
Because I have placed my belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he commands in the Bible that all who believe in him in his name and have the Holy Spirit living in them are to be baptized.
Amen. Amen. On your profession of faith, my daughter, my sister in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Nothing better than baptism. Amen. That's awesome. So y'all, please stand. We'll continue worshiping this morning.
Turn.
No matter what's going on in your life, God is always there for you. God is the one you turn to, and God can fix whatever's going on. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence. Thank you. serve a God that does not fail. Is that true?
Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we want to sing of how great you truly are. You are marvelous. You are beautiful beyond description. Lord, you are great and mighty and powerful. You are gracious. You are kind. And Lord, you are healing. And Lord, you also are correcting. And Lord, we pray as we come that you would forgive us of our sins. Lord, that there would be nothing that would hinder this worship. There would be nothing to hinder your presence. There would be nothing to hinder your spirit from moving. So, Lord, we as your church, we simply come and we sing praises to your holy name. Lord, as we continue this time of worship and the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we ask that your blessings will be up on them as well, Lord. But they would be also up on the person who gives, Lord. Lord, because they're giving out of a heart of love. They're giving out of faithfulness. So, Lord, we just ask that you bless both the gift and the giver. And as always, Lord, if I'm going to say something or do something that is not right according to your word, you would silence me, Lord, that you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. Why? because it's for your glory we're here, not ours, but yours. And we want you to be honored and glorified. We pray that you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Morning. Amen. I don't know how you say good morning, but that's how I say good morning. Now, just to let you all know something, there's a couple of things that all three of the pastors of this church have in common. All three of us pastors you've seen us all in a suit now. Right? You know what the other thing is? We all three got to baptize our daughters. Amen. Amen. God to be the glory. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to the book of Joshua chapter 5. I've entitled this sermon, To God Be the Glory. How appropriate for today. Amen. Amen. Open to Joshua chapter 5. And we've been talking about transitions. In fact, that's the overall arching thing of the series in Joshua. We're talking about transition. We all go through periods of change in our lives. Our lives are always changing. There continually seems constantly to be changing. Change in your job, changes in your financial situation, change in your health, change in your freedom, change in your family situation, changes. And change oftentimes can be very scary. In fact, most people kind of get a little bit apprehensive when change comes. But what we've been learning through Joshua is that even when life is spinning out of control or seems to be spinning out of control, even when we don't know where our next breath will come from, some people feel that way. Even when our lives have changed so much that we don't even recognize them anymore, the truth is this: we can trust God. We can trust God, because even though life as we know it may change, God does not. That is something that we need to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Because even though things change, God does not change. And because of that, we can trust him as our leader. And listen to me, trust is a mighty important thing, because that trust is what will see you through in difficult times. It's the vehicle that's going to get you through your changes, your trust in the Lord. Now, you all know what Arabian horses are, right? I'm glad Barb's not in here, because she won't like this, all right? Because Barb's a horse lady. Did you all know that an Arabian horse goes through very rigorous training in the deserts in the Middle East? Did you ever look that up, what they put them horses through? The training requires absolute obedience from the horses, and they put them through extreme tests to see if they are completely trained and obedient to their trainers. And the final test, the final act, the final test is almost beyond the endurance of any living thing, truthfully. Where a trainer will force the horse to do without water for many, many days. And then the trainer will turn them loose. And of course, you know what the horse is going to do. You probably know what the horse will do, don't you?
Once they turn that horse loose, they start running towards water. Wherever that water is, they will just dash and make a direct path to that water. But just as they get right to the edge of the water and right when they are ready to plunge their heads in to drink, the trainer blows its whistle. Now, these horses have been trained and have learned perfect obedience to stop at the sound of that whistle, so they stop. And they turn around and pace back to the trainer. And no doubt they stand there, I could only imagine that they stand there just quivering, wanting water, being so close to it, almost have their nose touching the water. They're so close, but they wait in perfect obedience. And when the trainer is certain that he has their obedience, he gives them the signal to go back and drink. Now that might seem severe, but listen to me very carefully. When you are on the trackless desert of Arabia and your life is entrusted to a horse, you had better have a trained, obedient horse, amen, because your life is going to depend on it. Listen to me very carefully. Obedience to the trainer, capital T, obedience to the trainer, God, right? Obedience to the trainer, capital T, is what we have seen thus far in the life of Joshua up through these first five chapters. Remember, God commands, Joshua obeys. God commands, Joshua obeys. God commands, Joshua obeys, right? It's this whole theme of these first five chapters. God says, do this, and Joshua does it. Do this, and Joshua does it. And it's obedience. Joshua was obedient. Also, I told you last week that a very small percentage, now watch what everything I've just told you. Remember what I told you last week, that a very small percentage, according to studies, that less than 10% of Christians, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about Christians, less than 10% of Christians actually make it through the transitions that God is leading you through. That's pretty low. We're the ones that are supposed to trust. Why do you think it's so low? It's because we lack obedience. I know you don't want to hear this, but it's true. We don't conduct our lives the way God tells us to. For instance, we don't parent the way God tells us to. How many of us lead our children in devotions? How many of us lead our family in devotions? I'm not saying you don't bring them to church, but how many of us lead our children in the devotions? How about this? How about when you're picking on your children seeing you do what God tells you not to do? How about that? We want to correct our children, but how about when our children see us doing things that we know that God says not to do? We don't, and listen, how about our relationships? We don't involve ourselves in relationships the way God tells us to. We don't use our finances the way God tells us to. And I could just go on and on and on. And because we lack obedience, we don't do things His way. That's what that means. We don't do things His way. And because of that, most of us never get to experience the victory or the joy of God's blessings. We never experience the things that God has for us because we get in a transition and we get stuck. We get into these modes and we get into these ruts and we get stuck in them. And we can't figure it out. It's confusing. And we say, Lord, I just don't understand this. Logically, right, as I'm trying to think through this, Lord, logically, it doesn't make sense to me. And so we just don't do it. And because of that, we suffer. But not Joshua. Joshua was obedient, and even when things didn't make sense to him, he still obeyed. And because Joshua was obedient to God, what we saw last week is that God revealed himself to Joshua. Something very powerful is taking place. Something very divine is happening in Joshua's life. We saw that where God revealed himself to Joshua in Joshua chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Remember what it says? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, Now remember, Joshua is now on the other side of the Jordan, and God commanded Joshua to do two things. Remember, they neglected these things. Two things they neglected. One was circumcision, and the other one was Passover, right? But it now Joshua was obedient to those two ordinances, right? And now a period of healing and fellowship has occurred for these Hebrews now. They're coming back in line. They're coming in obedience to what God's will is for their life, right? They're coming back in line. And so now he is on the other side, and he's going to go out and survey the land. He's going to go see what the battlefield looks like, because God has sent him into this promised land to take it over, right? So he goes out now, right? He goes out now to survey the land to see what the battlefield looks like. And what happens, you remember from that from last week, John chapter 5, verse 13? You remember when Joshua lifted his eyes and looked and beheld a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand? You remember that? So Joshua looked over and he saw this warrior. That's how he appeared to him. That's how he perceived him. When Joshua sees him, that's what he understands it to be. And he is in a battle formation. This warrior, he's in a battle formation. Why do we say that? He's already has his sword drawn. It says that his sword is drawn. And so what does Joshua do? Look what it says. And Joshua went to him. Remember we talked about the courage that Joshua had? And remember that God had told Joshua three times in chapter 1 to be what? Strong and courageous, right? Why? Chapter 1, verse 5. He tells him this: no man shall be able to stand before you. He doesn't say that man won't stand before you. He says no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man shall be able to stand before you. Listen, in your trust in the Lord, in your trust in the Lord, and in your obedience to the Lord, God will build in you to face change with whatever stands before you. Let me say that again. In your trust in the Lord and your obedience to the Lord, God will build in you the character, the courage, right, to face whatever stands before you. So Joshua approaches this warrior and he said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. So he says, whose side are you on? Are you on their side or are you on our side? And what did the warrior say? Verse 14. So he said, no. He says, no, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. He said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Now, y'all remember who I told you that I believe that this commander of the army of the Lord is, right? None other than the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord. This is the captain. This is the leader. This is the commander of the armies of heaven. And here he is standing there before Joshua. He's making himself known to Joshua. He reveals himself to Joshua. So the question is, why? Why? Because Joshua was following the ways of God, and in return, watch, he was following the ways of God, and in return, he was experiencing the presence of the Lord in a very powerful way. And that is exactly what you and I want when we face our struggles. It's exactly what we want. We want the presence of the Lord in a very powerful way. And listen, that's exactly what you and I want in the transitions and the changes that we face in our lives, is to experience the power and the presence of God. Amen. Now, that's a very brief recap of last week's message, and I need to do that so that you can understand the next thing about obedience to the person of God, and that is in the midst of difficult situations, in the midst of circumstances that are out of your control, when you feel like everything is changing and I don't know what is going to happen next, in the midst of all of that, when you are staring down at a giant in your life, it's something bigger than you, and you are working hard to remain obedient, and God shows up in the midst of all that, what are you going to do? Listen to me. When you're in the midst of something maybe good, maybe bad, maybe something huge, maybe even not so huge, But when you're at a point in your life when you want that experience from God, when you want God to show up, and He does, and you experience His presence, that's when, my friends, this is what we need to do when that happens. We need to express worship, point number one. We need to express worship. Now notice, as soon as the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts says, no, I'm not for you and I'm not for them, but as commander of the army of the host, I have now come, verse 14, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? I want you to look what he says. What does my Lord say to his servant? Now let me just point out something here as well. The reason why I almost completely convinced that this is the pre-incarnate Christ is because of the commander of the host of the Lord does not tell Joshua to get up and to stop worshiping him. You think that's very, what are you talking about, Pastor? Because Joshua is worshiping him as his Lord. He has fallen down now to worship him. Now, you can go to when Peter was in the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius fell down to worship him, and Peter picked him up, right? Peter picked him up and said, hey, I'm like you, man. You don't worship me. Acts chapter 10, verse 25 through 26. The same thing in Lystra. And when Paul was in Lystra, they came out to worship Paul, right? They came out to worship Paul, and he had performed miracles there. And he said to, and they came out to worship him. And Paul's like, hey, man, you stop that. He stopped. You don't worship me. I'm a man just like you. Acts chapter 14, verses 11 through 15, right? He stops him. And listen to what the angel says in Revelation chapter 20. This is an angel of the Lord, right? And listen to what the angel says in Revelation chapter 22. You can also see it in Revelation chapter 19, because the Bible says this. Look at this. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, meaning the angel, he said to me, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren and the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. But notice this commander here tells, with Joshua, he does not tell Joshua to get up and don't do that or to stop that. He doesn't say that. However, look at what he does say to him. And I think this will sound familiar to you, or I'm going to ask you, does it sound familiar to you? Verse 15, Joshua 5, 15, look what it says. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off of your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Yes, it does. You're thinking, yeah, it does sound familiar. So who is this? Is this the same one who spoke out of the burning bush? Now, was that, let me ask you something. We know that God spoke out of a burning bush. Let me ask you something. Now, was that old burning bush, was it holy? In of itself, was it holy? The bush in itself, was it holy? No. So what made it holy? The presence of God. Listen, I could put a statue and everything up here, but that statue's not holy if it's not got the presence of God in it. The bush was holy because the presence of God was in it, right? Look, and that's why he said, right, you take your sandals off your feet, take the sandals off your feet, Moses, because the ground where you stand is holy ground. Wherever the presence of God is holy ground. So was that ground holy for some reason? No, it was pagan ground. That was Canaanite ground. That was Amorite ground, right? So was it holy? Absolutely not. It was not. But what made it holy was the presence of God was there. It's kind of like this. This building is, let me ask you, is this building holy? No. It's just a bunch of block and siding, drywall, wood and concrete and as such, right? But what makes it holy is the presence of God that's in it. And that's what he is saying right here. He is saying, Joshua, you need to understand something. I'm here. I am the Lord, the commander of God. of the God's army. I am here. And he's saying, I'm here, Joshua. This is who I am. And Joshua goes to his face in worship before God. What do you think you're going to do when we get into heaven and we see Jesus? We're going to go to his feet. That's what's going to happen. And notice he does this in the... Now I want you to notice something. Joshua does this, right, in the midst of a life change. Everything is changing in his life. He does this in the midst of a life change. He not having all the answers, not having all the solutions, not having all of his questions diagrammed out and specifically answered, and he gets on his face to worship the Lord. Now let me ask you this. What do you do in the midst of your confusion? What do you do in the midst of your confusion? Like, listen, he is out there looking at this fortress, right? He's looking over at Jericho, right? He's there, and Joshua's got a bunch of shepherds with him. They'd never seen battering rams before. What in the world are you going to do? Is the question you keep asking yourself, what am I going to do? They don't have cannons. They don't have battering rams. They have no way to scale those walls, those big massive walls of Jericho. They have no way to get into that gate, right? He doesn't have all the answers. They have no way to defeat archers who are up on the walls there, right? They got these high walls with archers looking down on them, right? They're sitting ducks. The Hebrews are sitting ducks out there. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like that? You feel vulnerable like a sitting duck? Like it's out of your control. It's bigger than you. There's nothing that you and yourself you can do about it. Well, let me tell you something. We get so wrapped up in the I don't understands. We get so wrapped up in the I don't understands of things happening in our lives that we fail to worship. And worshiping is an act of obedience that comes out of trusting in the Lord. Now, because if I ask you all, who all in here trust in the Lord, you're all going to. But according to statistics, only 10% of us are obedient. Especially in times of change and confusion and unknowing. And church, I want to say some things. You're not going to like me. I just want to tell you up front. Because this is just heavy on my heart this morning. Because I've been talking about this in thinking about this. But let me tell you and understand, I'm not casting stones at anybody personally. I'm not. But people like worship to be what they want worship to be. Let me say that again. People like worship to be what they want worship to be. But there's so much that happens in the church now that you just shake your head and you look at the church, you say, where is God in any of that? And we say, that can't be worship. We look at that and we say, that can't be worship. We look at it and say, we've gotten so casual, so lethargic, so laid back about worship. And I just want to give you a principle. I want you to listen to me carefully. Please don't throw things at me. When you get casual in your worship, listen to me, when the praise band stands up here to usher us into a moment, a time of worship, and it's 11 o'clock and the praise band comes up and they start playing, they start ushering us into a time of worship, and people are busy checking their phones and their emails and their Instagrams and Facebook. And no, I don't have cameras on you. Talking to their neighbors, getting coffee. I'm Now, let me be very careful here. These things in of themselves are not bad. There's nothing wrong with them. But at 11 o'clock a.m., the praise band is starting to usher in worship. Where are you? Where are you? When we get casual in our worship, we get so distracted in the things of life. We get so casual in worship, then you need not to expect to understand the will of God in your life. You need not to expect it. Because listen to me, worship of God and the will of God are linked together. Let me say that again. The worship of God and the will of God are linked together. Let me throw something else out there while you're already wanting to kill me, all right? Worship is not a style. And worship is not here to meet your needs. Well, I don't like that. Trust me, I've heard it all. Worship's not a style. Don't come to me and tell me that we have to sing this or that or the other, or we have to sing it this way or that way, or we only got to sing this and not that. Listen, it has nothing. Worship has nothing to do with style. This worship is not for you. We got to remember this. The reason you're here is not for you. This worship is not for you to receive what you want. It is for God to receive what He desires from us. Right? It's what God receives. He wants to receive what He desires from us. Out of us, He wants us to worship out of us toward Him. Worship is a matter of the heart. Worship is your heart. We're seeing this in Joshua, right? Worship is in your heart. Worship is what you do in your heart towards God. Worship is not, is not stewing over a style of worship. Worship's not sitting there, I don't like the praise band music. I only want to do hymns. Or I only want to do praise band music. I want to do hymns. Listen, you missed it. You've missed the whole thing. Because you're so concentrated that I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting what I want. That you're so stewing on that you don't give God what He wants. It's not about the style. It's about the matter of the heart. Worship is your heart. It's not stewing over the style of worship. What does God receive out of that? What does He get out of that from us? And worship is not about the church. Well, listen, I'm really on a roll, aren't I? The worship is not about the church meeting your needs. Should the church meet your needs? Right? Yes, we should meet some needs, but that's not the main function of the church. The main function of the church is not to meet your needs. It's about you and I meeting the desires of worship to a holy God. That's what it's truly about. The church doesn't revolve around, you said that, I didn't. Church doesn't revolve around me, right? Church should revolve around God. In His desires for us to worship Him from inside here. So, no wonder we are confused about the will of God. I want you to stop to think about that for a second. No wonder we are confused about the will of God. No wonder we get off in transition and say, I just can't be obedient to that. I can't do that because I don't like that. No wonder we get confused when we come to God and say, God, I want you to do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. And God doesn't do that. He does something else. And then you like, no, can't be from God. No, no, it's not the way I would do it. That's not the way I would have it. Look, listen. We get into these situations like that when it becomes about us. And this is what it will sound like. Well, that definitely can't be God's will. That can't be God's will. God would not lead me to do that. Oh, yeah? God may lead you to do exactly that. But you cannot get a hold of God's will because your heart, here's the point. You cannot get a hold of God's will because your heart is not in worship before Him. It's in your comfort. It's in your will. It's in your way. And we can't get there to where we can experience that presence of God moment. Listen, Joshua was in a foreign place facing some very uncomfortable things, uncertain things. But notice, I want you to notice in the midst of that, what Joshua did. He got on his face before God. And he worshiped God. And we will see later on that God then meets his needs. And it is very cool. Now, can I just show you something else? And I've really never noticed this before. How did God appear to Joshua? Did he appear to Joshua as a physician? No. But is God the great physician? Yes. I want you to think in about this text. How did God appear to Joshua? Did he appear to Joshua as an advocate? No, but he is our advocate, right? Did he appear to Joshua as a counselor? No, but he is our counselor, amen? But that's not how he appeared. How did he appear to Joshua? He appeared to him as a soldier, as a warrior. Why? What did Joshua need at the time? What was his greatest need? Joshua needed a commander at this time, right? He needed a warrior. He needed a commander because what was Joshua going to be facing? A battle, right? He's going to be facing a battle. Now, I want you to listen to something here. You become like what you worship. Uh-oh. You become like what you worship. And when you worship God, God comes to you in the way that you need. Joshua needed a warrior, so in the midst of his worship, God comes and reveals himself as his high tower, right? His shield, his defender, right? And now some of you need a great physician today. Your greatest need is that you need a great physician today. Then you need to worship. You need to fall to the feet of Jesus. You need to worship because in the midst of your worship, God is the great physician. Amen? Some of you need an advocate today. Then you need to worship. You need to fall to the feet of Jesus. You need the one to stand before you and God and say to God, you need that advocate, right? The one to stand before you in front of God and say, God, I shed my blood for him. I shed my blood for her. So you need an advocate today. Listen, you need to worship because in the midst of your worship, Jesus Christ is your advocate. Listen, he is Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He is Jehovah Nissi, the God who is the banner that raises over our head. So you worship. You worship in obedience, and God will come to you, and he will meet the need of your life. I didn't say your wants. He will meet the need of your life. Now look with me at chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Look at that. We broke out of chapter 5. Look with me at chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. They wouldn't, right? No one went out, and no one came in. They had it locked down, right? Now this is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to do. Joshua is experiencing the presence of the Lord, right? And he falls to worship the Lord, right? Look what verse 2 says. And the Lord said to Joshua, see? Notice that exclamation point there. See? See? I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. What just took place? What just happened? God met his need with an assurance. God met his need with an assurance. He met Joshua's greatest need. Joshua needed this commander. He needed this commander of chief. God says, Joshua, all of this I've given to you before you go to battle. Now, I want you to understand this. Watch, he's saying, I've given this to you before you go to battle. I've already given it to you. Now, I want you to see this. The Lord is saying to Joshua, your obedience to me in worship, that right now I want you to understand, Joshua, I have taken care of all these things already. Before it's ever even taken place, I'm telling you, as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I've already taken care of it for you. Is Joshua still going to go to battle? Oh, yeah. He didn't just remove the battle, but he told him, I'm going to have you victory over that battle. It's already yours. You see, God was already meeting Joshua's need before he ever went into battle. Sometimes we go through battle. Sometimes we go through hardship. Sometimes we go through tough times. But listen to me carefully. In whatever it is that you are going through, you worship God. Worship God, whatever it is, and I guarantee you he will show up. If you're truly enter into a time of worship with God, that you're trying to be obedient in his worship to him, not that you're getting your needs met, but you're coming and worship to God to be obedient into what he desires for you to do, to worship him. Listen, he will show up. God says, you come and you be obedient to me in all areas of your life, but especially in worship, and don't you worry about the outcome. I'll take care of it. Woo! Man, I'm telling you, you haven't studied this, you need to go get in it. He says, I want to take care of it. Now, some of you are here this morning, and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but God is speaking to your heart today. He may have been speaking to your heart for some time now, but he's speaking to your heart, and you are in the midst of a change, a challenge, and you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to go. You're struggling. Just admit it. I'm struggling. Let me tell you something. The answer for your life is Jesus Christ. And the good news is this. Here's the great news. There's good news in this. The good news is this, that right where you are sitting, you can trust him as your personal Lord and Savior right now. That in your heart, you can pray in confession, in belief, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I repent. I confess my sins to you. I am a sinner. That's just simply saying this, God, you are right about my life. I'm in agreement with you. I fall short of you because I am a sinner. I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. You need to admit that to you, not to him. Lord, I can't save myself, and so I come to you. I come to you. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, for my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being raised from the dead that I can conquer. You can rule, now you can rule over my sinful life. So with all that I am, I surrender to you to be Lord of my life. The Bible says this, that as many as who believe on him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Now listen to me, if you just prayed that prayer under your breath as I was saying, if you said that and you want somebody to pray with you, I'm inviting you to come when the music begins. I want you to step up here and share with me and just say, listen, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I need to know that. Just share with me, hey, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're still confused, but you feel that tugging at your heart. Then you come and listen, we'll set up a time to talk in detail. There's several people here that will talk with you. And others of you, you just need to get to this altar. We know that the truest altar is our heart. But you need to get to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, today I'm going through a tough transition. Lord, I'm going through a real time of difficulty, and I need to see you. Amen. I need to see you, Lord. I need to worship you. I need your assurance. Just like you gave Joshua, I need your assurance. Will you come and seek his presence? And that's the question. You have to have the presence before you can worship. And if you're not experiencing that presence, then you need to come and ask the Lord to reveal to you what needs to take place in your life that you can have that. Amen? Let's stand. There's a group called We Are Messengers, and they sing a song called this, To God Be the Glory. And some of the lyrics go like this. When the ground beneath my feet is shaking like a leaf, God, you're still good to me. When my hope is all but gone and I'm barely hanging on, God, you're still good to me. When my heart can't find the beat, when it's dark and I can't see, I will put my hope in you. And it goes on, but at the end of the song it goes like this. Whatever comes my way, I will always praise your name. I will put my hope in you. When I run into your courts, I will fall into your arms. I will sing a song of praise. I'll trade ashes for beauty. Yeah. I'll trade joy for my mourning. I'll trade to God be the glory forever and ever. To God be the glory. I'll trade strength for my weakness. I'll trade pain for my healing. I'll trade, let this be my story forever and ever. To God be the glory. Let me tell you, let this be your story. That whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, to God be the glory. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us from your word, and it's a word of truth, and we can depend on it, and we can trust it, and by faith, we can live it. And Lord, we just ask for your strength and your mercy, but Lord, we ask for your presence in these moments. Lord, I pray that as your presence is up on us, I pray that we will respond in a way that brings honor and glory to you. Lord, because that's what this is about. This is about you. And the greatest thing in the world about that is that you are about us. And so, Lord, we come. We come to you in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. You come.
Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord.
You need prayer about something in your life, you come. I will pray with you.
Speak what is true. Here's my speak what is true. 'Cause I
More.
Lord's working very powerfully. Very, very powerfully. People want that closeness of God. They want that surety, that assurance. And listen, there are difficult things. There are, like I said, we face mountains. As I prayed with Brother Tim, there are just mountains bigger than the ones we can see in this earth. These mountains seem monumental. Here's what I know. I know the creator of the mountains. That's who I know. And listen, he has a cattle on a thousand hills. Listen, I don't know what it is that you're going through, every one of you, but I know what some of you are going through. And here's what I'm telling you. Go to worship in God. I don't know how, but he has the ways and the means to provide you the assurance that you need. And listen, if there's anything we can do as a church, we want to be there. We want to do it. Look, but worship God. Worship God in obedience. Find your life in obedience to what he says for you to do. Surrender. Surrender. It's a surrendering. Listen, let me pray for you all. Father God, in the name of Jesus, there are so many in this place that really want this true worship. They want this true security. They want the assurances that you are there. You are a God who is there. And so, Lord, we ask that you rise up in a very powerful way. You move in a very powerful way. Father, brother and my, me and a brother this morning in my office would say, we can just feel that there's some spiritual oppression. There's something that's going on. And Lord, we feel it around us. That's because you're going to do something. That's because you're going to move in a powerful way. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that we will unite as one in Christ in all of our different backgrounds and all of our different, but we will come together in Jesus Christ and we will worship you as the only true and one God. And Lord, that you and your mercy and your love and your grace will fall upon us, and you will bring peace and you will bring assurance. We pray this, Lord, in your presence, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming. And listen, God's not done moving. The greatest act of worship begins when you walk out those doors. Amen. That's what I'm saying. The greatest act in our families, in our relationships, our finances, our marriages, the true act of worship starts there. And then this is the culmination when we all come back in here, is that we feel and sense the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. We pray that if you need prayer, stick around. I'll pray with you. But you, thank you for being here. And you're dismissed. And I love you. And greater than that, the Lord loves you. Even more. Because he died for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Huh?
You are strong. You are